This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
It's a special edition of Turnbuckle Trash we have for you right now. It'll be in two parts. You can also listen to part two just right underneath this. So what are we going to be doing today? We're going to be talking to a man who's not only a wrestling promoter, he's also a performer, and above all, he's a fan. He's a man that went to Orlando to go to WrestleMania 3, but there was so much more happening there that he'll tell us all about what happened in Orlando. You'll find out some surprising things about WrestleMania weekend in Orlando, Florida. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the MK Bandit. It's next on Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
MK, you are awesome, dude. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's my pleasure. I always like being on with you guys.
Dude, I got to tell you, when we came down to UCW last month to watch Rey Mysterio, I think I cheered louder for you than I did for Rey Mysterio.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Everybody's got a little bit better.
Everybody's looking at me like, why is he cheering for MK? He's the bad guy.
Good heels cheer for MK. That's for sure. In fact, that's funny you say that because I literally was, Facebook stalked. Now, this is funny. I was Facebook stalked by some fans, and I shouldn't say that in a derogatory sense. It was actually a nice surprise. There was about eight of them who were all wearing my T-shirts from like 5 years ago. And so they're my social media friends, and they were going to WrestleMania, and they saw that I showed up at this bar, and it's like I kind of turn around, and I'm like, talking to people about WrestleMania, and I look, and I see there's this chick, and she's wearing one of my True Heel shirts, and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen one of those forever. I wonder where she got that from. And then here come literally six, seven other people. I was like, there he is! I was like, oh my God. I was like, it's weird because it's like, some places you're a heel and they just want to kill you. Like, I go to Lubbock, Texas, no love there for heels. But here I am in Orlando and I get mobbed by like seven people in T-shirts from 5 years ago.
Oh, that's great. So MK, you're on with Dave and myself, Zane here, and we're here with Turnbuckle Trash. We just want to talk to you for a minute about last weekend was a big deal for wrestling, and you had the opportunity to be there. So, Dave, do you have anything you want to question or ask MK about where he was last weekend?
Yes, MK, when you're there in Orlando, which is such a big tourist area anyway, what was the feeling like for WrestleMania and for what was happening that weekend in Orlando?
Well, here's the thing that was, there was two things that I learned a couple things this weekend. First of all, the business is alive and well. I mean, any question about is the professional wrestling business vibrant and still moving forward? It is. The fans were amazing. The second thing I learned is that there are a cadre of fans, and I'm going to say a huge cadre of fans, that are not WWE fans, but they go to things of this nature not to go to the WWE events, but there was 96 independent shows, and all of these fans came to those shows, and a lot of them, when I talked to them, were like, no, we're not going to WrestleMania. We came here for Ring of Honor. No, we're not going to WrestleMania. We came here for Progress. And then what was conversely, when I would talk to someone, I would say, oh, did you see that, they had, you know, FIP was doing a show, or these guys were doing a show. And they had no clue that there was even independent wrestling in the area, and they were just WWE fans. So it was really crazy to me to find there's these two segments of wrestling fans that never really cross over.
Wow. And you see, and you're talking to an old-time fan, Dave, you go way back, Mid-South Coliseum, and so yeah. Dave, you follow the independents pretty regularly too, don't you?
Yeah, I really enjoy watching Ring of Honor, and I enjoy watching I've watched Championship Wrestling from Hollywood a few times, Paramount mm-hmm. Pro. I get online and I'll find some of the indies that you know, maybe are on YouTube and look at, you know, and just see the different types of wrestling. I have Fight TV app on my phone, and just every once in a while I'll just pick out something just to watch. And you know, like I think what you said, MK, is brilliant, because there are those WWE fans, and then there are the fans that could really care less about the WWE. They might follow them, but there are also the independent fans, the ones that are watching Lucha Underground, watching ROH, yeah. and getting on the Fight TV Network and on YouTube. So I think that's great. That's a 96 events, you told me? You said that?
96 independent wrestling events starting from the weekend before, yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know,
wow.
Kind of off of what you were saying, Gabe Sapolsky told me, because, you know, as a promoter, as an indie wrestling guy, that's all I am. I'm just an indie guy. It frustrates me that, say, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is my hometown promotion right now, Destiny Wrestling, there'll be 8,000 people that will come to a WWE event, okay? We'll print up 2,000 mini flyers and maybe get 50 more people to our event a couple weeks later than we did. And it just frustrates me. And when I talked about that to Dave Sapolsky, he explained to me, he says, you're never going to be able to bring in the WWE fans. In general, WWE fans, that's what they are. That's all they are. Hmm. They like John Cena. They like Roman Reigns. They like Seth Rollins. And that's it. They have no idea. And if you're not on TV, they don't want to see you. He's like, we as Evolve and FIP don't market WWE fans, because you'll never get them. Because you don't have John Cena. You know? We market wrestling fans. We market the guys just like you that go on Fight TV, that go on you know, YouTube, and search out alternatives. He goes, those are the fans that you need to market. Make them aware of your promotion, and you'll get more. And it was something that I didn't really think about.
Interesting. So yeah. One question I have for you. Oh, sorry, I'm can't mean to interrupt you.
Well, I was just saying, that's Gabe Polsky, so he knows his stuff, you know.
So one question I have for you, a lot of people I think forget too, and honestly I didn't know very much about it till I started following you on social media, was WrestleCon. Tell us about your experience at WrestleCon for a minute.
Well, WrestleCon is amazing. It's basically the biggest wrestling convention in the world. Now, that's what they claim. I have to believe that there's probably some bigger ones when they do Wrestle Kingdom in Japan. So I'm going to say it's the biggest one I've seen. And it's just rows and rows and rows of people. And we're not talking like just regular people, but independent wrestling stars, stars from the past, modern day stars. And it's literally in one walk down an aisle, you're going to see Bubba Ray Dudley. Then you're going to see Greg the Hammer Valentine. Then you're going to see Kevin Thorne. Then you're going to see Rob Conway. And then you're going to see you know, Michelle Martinez. And then you're going to see, it's just like, oh, my gosh, it's like sensory overload. There is so much there, you know. And then Ric Flair, you see him over there. Then there's Sting. And then, you know, it's sensory overload. I mean, it took me, I had to go 2 days to see everything.
Wow.
I love Comic-Con. You know, there's just so much to see. And I even missed John Cena at this last Comic-Con in Salt Lake City because I was doing a wrestling panel about the same time Cena was doing his meet and greet. So I really wanted to see Cena.
No, that's a good analogy. That's a perfect analogy. I mean, you know what would blow me away, and here's the other thing that would blow me away, is you know, you would see a lot of fans walking by Kevin Sullivan. And he's a gentleman I work with in Pacific Coast Wrestling. And, you know, if anybody that knows anything about, you know, pro wrestling knows that this guy is, I mean, it's Kevin Sullivan. What do you need to say?
Kevin Sullivan.
They would walk by him and walk by Abdullah the Butcher. And you could just tell that they were kind of, you know, because they were younger fans. They were just kind of like, who are these old guys? You know what I'm saying? And so for a guy like you or me, it's like, oh, my God, you know, okay, at the same table, you got Kevin Sullivan, Shane Douglas. Then right next to him, you've got Abdullah the Butcher. And then next to him, you've got Andy Anderson and Great Hammer Valentine. In one little, like, row.
Wow.
And I got excited when I got to meet the Godfather at Comic-Con in Salt Lake City.
You know, and the Godfather was there. And the Godfather was there, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And
great guy.
Oh yeah, and it was really weird too, because for me it was like a reunion of all the guys that I've worked with in the past. You know what I mean? It was great to see, because you know, you don't always get an opportunity to work multiple times with some of these guys, so that when I would see a MVP who I've worked with, you know, three times, and a program was up, it's like, it's nice to see him. I saw Robbie E, I saw Eric Bischoff, and I saw, you know, Jeff Jarrett. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Think of all those people in one big room, and you just can walk up and wait in a little line and see them. I mean, I waited for maybe 15 minutes and got to see Ric Flair, and then waited another 10 minutes and saw Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
See, now, me, when you said Jerry Lawler, that's me right there. I would love the opportunity to be able to meet Jerry Lawler sometime. I've been watching him since I was just a kid in Memphis. So that's an incredible performance. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, that's the funny thing about when I met Jerry Lawler. I've only seen Jerry Lawler perform live once. And that was in, I believe it was July 7th, 1997, in the ECW arena when he came out and made the invasion and started smacking people around and hit Tommy Dreamer in the crotch with the cane.
And Tommy Dreamer still talks about that one too, so.
Yep. And I said that to him. I said, I've seen you wrestle a million times, you know, on videos and things like that, but I've only seen you live once. And he kind of laughed about that. And, I mean, to be able to sit down, and you know how much it cost to meet, and this is the other thing, how much do you think it cost to meet Jerry Lawler?
Oh, $100.
Hit me.
$100?
$25.
$25?
And you got a T-shirt.
What?
No way.
Yes.
What?
You know, it cost me to talk to the Godfather just to get an autograph was $20.
Yep.
On a picture. And then I got, a picture was $40, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but that's a great deal. That is fantastic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they've got, I think a lot of the old school guys, and you know, you don't get much more old school than like, you know, Jerry Lawler. They understand that the average wrestling fan is maybe not going to pay a lot. And so, I mean, I could see a real price break between, of course, you're going to play the $80 for the Flares and that stuff. But some of the older school guys, like Greg Valentine was $20. Shane Douglas was $20. Kevin Sullivan was $30. You know what I mean? And it was just, you know, so a lot of the old school guys are probably like, I'm going to do it in volume as opposed to maybe a Godfather who's more modern, who's, you know, a little more. No, I don't know, but it was, all I can say is that, like, let me put it this way, for $200-$300 you can meet everybody you want.
Wow. So okay, let's move on to the meat of the reason we've got you on here, MK.
Sure.
That was WrestleMania 33. You had the opportunity to be at WrestleMania. I cannot even fathom. I mean, I think I would pass out from hyperventilation from having the opportunity to do something like that. You got to tell us what made you decide to go to WrestleMania, and I mean, what was the event itself like?
Well, here's what happened is, I mean, you know, it didn't really cross my mind to go to WrestleMania. I got a call from Bubba, and Bubba was doing it, a seminar. Him and Dreamer were doing a seminar at Team 3D Academy and asked me to help out. And so I was like, you know, what's the day? What time? Let me see. And my son, he goes to Wholesale University. So I was like, okay, you know, I can visit my son. I'll come out and help you guys out. And then I realized, oh, wait, that's the Thursday before WrestleMania. So then I thought, well, gosh, you know, why don't I just, you know, stay the weekend to see WrestleMania? And so, and I honestly thought to myself, there's no way I'm going to get tickets or no way I'm going to get decent tickets. I went online immediately and got really good tickets for not a lot of money. And I think a lot of times people want to go to WrestleMania, but they wait to the last minute because it wasn't soon after that that I tried to get tickets for my son. It was just the prices were insane. There was no good seats. So first of all, that's how I ended up there. But when you get there, I can't tell you how. I mean, look, y'all know me. Y'all know I do big events with ESPN. I've done, you know, the Pac-12 championship games. I've done, you know, Utah BYU. I've done Michigan, Utah. I've done, you know, Oakland Raiders games. I've done. Nothing can compare to WrestleMania. I would venture to say that it's probably bigger in my mind than the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Wow. And so when you get there, the fans are so rabid. It just take even like I said, we have the distinction between two fans, but the fans there are so rabid. Take your average indie crowd that you've been to, okay? Now remember, these guys are probably doing this as a once in a lifetime thing, and now there's 75,000 of them in one place at one time. And that's the only way I can describe it. I mean, it was just insane. And the WWE does such a good job of understanding what. I mean, you can criticize their booking, you can criticize this, but overall, you can understand. They have a fundamental understanding of what the people want, at least from a production standpoint. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
And so, yeah.
That's something that I've always talked about. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it sparked me for something. I always talk to Dave about this, and we always talk on the show, and that's my gripe with, and I always say like why I have a hard time watching some of the indie promotions is because of the production value. WWE, they put their money into the cameras and the lights and the entrances and the shows and the. And so it makes your average fan so it's just almost over the top, you know, and that's something that's always sparked. And I guess maybe that's why it's hard for other people to watch a YouTube promotion where they're just got one dude holding a video camera trying to catch all the action with dim lights and, you know, things like that.
Well, that's what I think a lot of indie promotions where they make their mistake is I'm a student, and I don't mean a formal student, but a student of Paul Heyman. And once again, I don't mean formal student. He hasn't actually tutored me, but I mean just watching his stuff and reading his books and everything. Is that if you can't compete with the WWE production, don't even go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of indies there, and some that I even work for that try to do that, and they always fall short. It's lipstick on a pig technology. The best indie feds that I work for are the ones that they just say, this is wrestling, here we go. And they pay attention to, like you said, they have good camera work and good lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Really, if you have good wrestling, what else do you need?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And so I find a lot of the indie promotions really shoot themselves in the foot trying to do a big production when they don't have the production money. because that's the one thing that the WWE does is that production. I mean, and it is timed perfectly. Like when a guy, you know, wins the match and you hear that 1, 2, 3 and he gets up and boom, you've got the entire stadium lit up with fireworks. I mean, it's just something that is very good. And on that note, if I may continue, the thing that the WWE does that people forget, and this is the something that I to this day I still can't believe that people in the know don't get what's going on. Here's what it is. They're not so much worried about 5-star matches. They want to create a 5-star event.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean?
I exactly understand what you mean, because they put so much thought process into making WrestleMania an event. They actually probably work on it all year long, I'm sure. Like the Bray Wyatt match with Randy Orton, when Orton's mm-hmm. coming down that ramp and that snake is slithering down with him, and then they mm-hmm. throw the maggots and they throw the roaches onto the screen on the mat itself. Mm-hmm. That was brilliant presentation. Yep. I mean, that was something that everybody, you know, I'm going, somebody hit a home run with that one, with me anyway.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. They are creating 5-star events. And, you know, everybody talks about Roman Reigns and Undertaker was a crummy match and da-da-da-da-da. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say it was or it wasn't. That's not my point of what I'm trying to say here. Let me put it this way. Number one, people are talking about it. Number two, the image that's gonna last with those guys is the Undertaker leaving his stuff in the ring mm-hmm. and breaking character and kissing his wife.
Hmm. Yeah, that was cool.
You know, and think about that. The match is secondary to the event.
Hmm. Right. Now, let me just kind of go on this, MK. Let's see if you agree with me on this. Watching Roman Reigns on Monday Night Raw, and the crowd was just all over him. I mean, they were great. They were just all over him. And then when McMahon comes out, he announces Kurt Angle as the new general manager. And they're playing Kurt Angle's entrance music. Now, I just remember when Kurt started in the WWE, they were trying to make him a face, and nothing worked. And then the crowd started going the "You Suck" gimmick when they were playing his entrance music. And now they've turned that almost into Kurt's anthem. He's almost like this golly gee shucks type of character that people at first really did not like when he got into the WWE. And I'm wondering how much that is in the thought process is what's going on with Roman Reigns.
Well, look at how many times that's happened with others. I mean, and just to kind of say that was something funny, they were doing the "You Suck" when he was inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Think about that. So but I think, I mean, look at Rocky Maivia. What happened to him? He became The Rock. You know what? You want to hear something interesting that not a lot of people know about The Rock? Is they were going to demote him. I don't know if you remember in the 90s, what Vince would do is he used ECW as almost a minor league to coach guys up and bring them back into the Fed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He had a handshake agreement with Paul Heyman that he would help him put on the pay-per-views if Paul Heyman would coach up his talent. And Rocky Maivia at the time, The Rock, darn near ended up in ECW.
Wow.
To be coached up by Heyman. But then, of course, he joined the Nation of Domination. And so I think that you're right. Roman Reigns is finding his niche. And to be honest with you, in the WWE right now, there's no face or heels. If you really think about it. I mean, there's faces, but there's no heels. There's nobody like me. I mean, honestly, when you look at my character, when you look at the NK character, I represent the Taliban. They bill me as Muammar Gaddafi's former legal counsel. I represent the almighty Sheikh. You know, I'm there is no socially, morally redeeming value of that character. And there's no Nikolai Volkov, there's no Iron Sheik, there's no Freebird, there's no one like that in the Fed now. So it's almost like the fans feel they have to create them.
Yeah, I think you're right, because we've talked about that. It's all about the anti-heroes now. See, Stone Cold Steve Austin created the whole anti-hero thing. And everybody wants to be, or I don't know if it's the WWE or their character, nobody wants to be a bad guy. I mean, like Brock Lesnar. Brock's not a full-on bad guy. You know, Seth Rollins, he's not a full-on bad guy. There is no bad guys.
Well, and want me to tell you why?
Tell me why.
Is in a PG world, there's never going to be an MK Bandit. There's never going to be a guy that walks down the ramp with the almighty Sheik, with heel knuckles, punching good guys. And the reason being is think about what that does in the PG world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Think about a Disney movie. There's no bad guys. There's just bad. There's no evil guy. There's no. It's not like a James Bond film where there's just some guy like Scaramanga trying to take over the world. There's just like cartoon. There's Cobra Commander type guys. There's mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're almost a joke. They're almost a joke because you know it's like a Snidely Whiplash. You know, shucks, I didn't beat the good guy again type of thing. And like you said, nobody wants to step forward and be Rowdy Piper. No one wants to be the Iron Sheik. No one wants to be Cowboy Bob Orton. And consequently, my job as a heel is to put insurmountable odds in front of an ordinary man such that when he overcomes them, he becomes a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And so this resistance to be a heel has created the almost impossibility to create a face. And hence you have guys not getting over as a face. And think of, I want you to think about this. It's a rhetorical question, but name the biggest face other than John Cena that's come out in the last 20 years. That's a homegrown guy.
There really is nobody because they haven't effectively passed the torch to really anybody. They're really you're right. You're 100% right.
Without heels, you can't. Without, let me put it this way: if Hulk Hogan came from the AWA into the WWF at the time and beat Bob Backlund, do you think that he would be who he is today?
Oh no.
So
didn't the Sheik only have the belt for a week or two before all that happened?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's like 1 week. Yeah.
So I have a question for you along with that. What happened to the gimmick? The gimmicks are gone. You do not – and I guess that goes hand in hand with the heels. There is – the heels are gone and gimmicks are gone too. You have – somebody has their little – like The Miz, I guess his gimmick is kind of to – you know, he was doing the movie star thing for a while and – but – Nobody has a gimmick right now. What happened to the guys that used to like the Macho Man? He lived his gimmick outside of the ring until it became such a part of his everyday life that's almost who he turned into. You know?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's the death of kayfabe because here's the thing: it's hard to suspend disbelief. I mean, The Godfather would never be popular today. I mean, honestly, if he came out with a Ho train today, first of all, they wouldn't let him do it because it's a PG thing. But secondly, it comes off as hackneyed and comes off as old-timey pro wrestling, people yelling at each other type stuff. So I think that where you're seeing we're in the Fed now, they're staying away from things like that because look at what their competition is. Okay, what would you say if you had to guess? What would you say is the WWE's main competition right now? And I don't mean in the wrestling world. I just mean for the entertainment belt.
It's the NFL. That's what
NFL,
I would say.
UFC.
Yeah.
NFL, UFC.
UFC.
Yeah.
There's. Think about this. There's no Joe Namath in the NFL, is there anymore?
No.
No.
There's no gimmicks in sports anymore. Where's Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, you're right.
Name one gimmick. Think about this. It's not just limited to pro wrestling. Name in UFC who's the biggest gimmick guy. What, maybe Conor McGregor?
Maybe.
You know, think about that. But back in the day, But back in the day, you had Muhammad Ali, you had Larry Holmes, and you had cool nicknames. You know, it's not just wrestling, it's sports in general. I kind of think that era may have passed us by, but will come back again.
Yeah.
MK, real quickly, when you're talking about that, when you're talking about the gimmicks, do you think that's part of the reason why Lucha Underground is finding a niche, a pretty big niche? I mean, I love Lucha Underground, so especially Marty, of course, but because they have little gimmicks going there, Marty the Moth, the Mil Muertes, they have different little storylines going all the time. And I think people are really starting to gravitate to that. So you think it might be coming back?
I think here's what I'm saying. I really believe it's coming back because I really also think that, once again, we're talking about two different fans. There's guys like us, and then there's guys that just think, I mean, think about this. I mean, you know, okay, let me put it into perspective, okay? Here in Salt Lake City, the biggest show probably in UCW history, what did they have to do to get 1,000 people?
Bring in somebody that everybody knew, a name.
From where? Did they bring in a name from New Japan? Did they bring in a name from AAA? No, where did this guy make his name?
It was the big leagues, WCW, WWE.
Yeah. Let's just be clear. It was WWE. Now, that's what I'm saying. There's WWE fans and there's wrestling fans.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to get at is you and me, we all appreciate the gimmicks. We appreciate the face heel dynamic. So for us, we're going to gravitate toward that. So when we see Excalibur in CCW, or when we see characters in Lucha Underground, we're going to gravitate toward that. You know what I'm saying? Because we are wrestling fans. We understand what wrestling is about, what it is, what it was, where it came from, right?
Yeah.
A WWE fan isn't going to understand it. If all you've been born of, funny story, Tommy Dreamer was talking to us, and it was in a conversation about just the same kind of topic. He said to one of his students, "You look like Medusa, okay?" The girl said, "I have no idea who Medusa is." And he said, "Well, don't you remember she dumped the belt in WCW and this, that?" And then the girl said, "What's WCW?
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, "How old are you?" And she said, 18. And he realized WCW went out of business when she was 2 years old, okay?
Right.
So unless you're really hardcore and start plucking those YouTube videos when you're 10 years old or whatever, you're not going to know that stuff. And so all you have is what the WWE's really produced in the past 10 years, which has been sterile, no face heel dynamic, no gimmicks. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're 100% right because and a lot of that, you know, they keep calling this the reality era. Mm-hmm. They say, "Well, we can't have a heel or we can't have a face because, like you said, kayfabe's dead because of social media and because the access to I mean, it's like I almost hate looking at social media in the morning because of it's like, what is it going to ruin for me from the night before? Because there is no secrets anymore.
But you know, the thing about it though is I'm going to tell you, it's that is just an excuse. Because let me tell you something. There, you look at my social media, there are very few personal things that you see about me.
Yeah, you're right.
And I live my character through my social media. What you see on my social media is not Matthew Robles. It says Matthew Robles. You're living MK. Because I don't have a secret Facebook page because people will find it. I don't have a secret Twitter account because people will find it. I just have to make that sacrifice for my craft. So that when I say I'm going to punch someone in the face, there has to be believability, okay? Now think about this. What if right before the Rey Mysterio match, when I'm talking shit about how we're going to kick his ass, we're going to do all this stuff, you saw me, a picture of me kissing a wife or kissing a baby. I mean, right? It's gonna be you're gonna be like, this is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? And so if these WWE characters, if they did what the Iron Sheik are doing now, live the gimmick through social media and sacrifice their personal life, heel and face dynamics to come back. It's that these guys don't want to make that sacrifice. John Cena, and God bless him, I'm not criticizing him. I'm nobody. I'm an indie guy, so I'm just going to say that to qualify. But honest to God, going out there, how could he ever be a heel now? How can he ever have a heel turn? Going out and proposing to his wife at WrestleMania, posting pictures of them on Good Morning America. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. But this, you know, I got to go back and kind of give The Miz and Cena credit a little bit, even though the match, the tag match, was just, I thought, the worst one of all Mania. But yeah, the build up to it, the promos that they cut in the ring against each other were, I thought, some of the best work that both of them have done in, well, since The Rock with Cena. But The Miz, some of his work in the past 6 to 8 months has been his best of his career, I thought.
Oh, no question. And that's old school. That's, you know, that's old school. And I really believe that at the independent level, if you go to most indie shows, the gimmicks are alive, face heel dynamics are alive. You know what I'm saying? And whether that continues, because quite frankly, if I had a tryout with the Fed and they said, you're not going to have the heel knuckles, you're not going to have the suit, we're going to put you in this, and this is what you're going to do. Really, do you think I'm going to say, no, I think I should be a heel? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, yes, sir, how much does it pay?
I like to hurt people.
Woo! Okay, now, I want a foot fight, you understand? I want a fair fight and a foot fight. No biting, no hair pulling, and no hitting below the belt.
And they got that fantasy, man.
We're here.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The bell. Oh, boy. Let me at him.
Turnbuckle Trash. That's part one of our interview with the MK Bandit. We're going to talk more about professional wrestling, what happened in Orlando, his thoughts about The Undertaker, and what happens when a young talent moves up to the WWE. It's all coming up in part two. Thanks for listening to Turnbuckle Trash.